knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean. And he'll talk about anything you'd like. How are you, Dean?
Hi, Dean.
Anything?
Well,
you're pretty open.
Almost anything.
Okay. Let's talk about nuclear fission.
Do you want to talk about nuclear fission? That'd be great.
I would.
That'd be great.
I've had a lot on my mind.
Everything I've learned from Homer Simpson.
Exactly. It's very true.
Dean, I want to fold you into a conversation that we had earlier on the show. Disney Plus is Disney's new streaming service. They're putting out a disclaimer before some of their programs saying that the shows were made at a less culturally sensitive time.
Right.
Right? Jungle Book, Dumbo, Aristocats, they all have some things in there, some characters or some subject matter that isn't acceptable by today's standards. What are your thoughts on this? Do you edit those parts out?
No. I don't think you do. You tell people that there may be things in here that, you know, some people may find offensive. And, you know, let it be. I don't find hate messages in any of these movies. It's just the way things were at that time. And, you know, if anybody is offended, they've been warned. That's how I feel. Yeah. How do you feel about it?
I feel the same way. I think whenever it was made, if it was a book that was written, if it was a movie that was shot, if it was a painting that was painted, it's a reflection on what was acceptable at the time, right, and that artist's interpretation of it. So you don't want to alter that, do you?
Yeah. I mean, are you going to cut out, you know, all the slavery scenes and Gone with the Wind?
Right.
You can't change history, and you learn from our past mistakes. And someone texted in earlier, which I thought was a great thing, is use these moments as teaching moments for your children and explain that's how things were. I mean, yeah, we've evolved.
I think that makes tons of sense. I think that's the appropriate thing to do. And, you know, it's good for Disney for, you know, doing this and not hiding some of these films as they have.
Song of the South.
For decades where, you know, they would never release them on, you know, VHS or DVD or, you know, whatever the format du jour was. They just would never release the film. And, you know, then suddenly it's lost in history. You have this platform where you can put virtually everything on it. Why not do it? And if, you know, somebody doesn't like it,
don't watch it.
Here's a brilliant thing. Turn it off, right, if you don't like it. There's a you know, this new thing called the off switch that you can,
yep,
execute.
Yeah.
And I sounded just like my dad.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know if you know this, but there's a new invention called the off switch. Turn off those lights. What do you think I
made of money?
Yeah, well, he didn't say made of
money.
He didn't say made of money.
That's where my mom would have said like it or lump it, did which dad, I never really knew what, oh, that, yeah, meant.
Dean, did your dad used to say, what do you think, we're made of pastizio?
My dad apparently had a fascination with the digestive system when it came to money, because his description was more...
A little more graphic?
Cash machine-like.
Several texter, when we were discussing this earlier, said, what about Song of the South? Why can't they show that? And I tried to describe it. I said, you know, it was plantation life, but it was a Disney-fied version of plantation life. Very few slaves were singing with, you know, singing rabbits and bears back on the real plantations. But
do you know that for sure, Bill?
I don't know it for sure.
Okay.
I don't know it for sure. No. But I can understand Disney's side of it. They don't want to offend. But by the same token, you go, well, but you're getting what you're getting with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's I can understand why. You know, some people would be offended by that. I can see,
yep,
if your ethnicity, your cultural identity is being depicted in a way that you feel demeans it. I can understand why somebody is like that. But that's, when was that movie made? In the
1950s.
Okay. You know, I would like to think that we had evolved a little more in the 1950s, but it didn't seem, you know, as offensive.
But
then,
can I give you an example?
But it is what it is. Then don't
watch it.
Then don't watch it, yeah.
Then don't watch the movie. You know, occasionally, you know, you'll watch an episode of All in the Family or The Jeffersons,
yeah,
where they drop the N-word in the movie.
Not, yeah, a lot.
They literally, I like,
Sanford and Son.
I couldn't believe it where they
most
did.
Yeah.
But in the '70s, it didn't have the. It's always had a negative connotation, but not like now where you wouldn't even dare say the word any place. But these are shows that were, you know, specifically for African American people, and you know, the word exists there. If you find it offensive, don't watch it.
Don't you think? All right, so Blazing Saddles is considered to be one of the funniest movies of all time. I guarantee you, if somebody hands that script in today, they cut out a third of it.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. With a lot of the racial comments,
yep,
and depictions in the movie,
yep,
not to mention, personally, I like sitting around a campfire and enjoying
sure
a song or two, and right. I'm highly offended when that flatulence scene,
yep,
is
very upsetting,
extremely disturbing to, yep, me when I see that.
And think about if they did an edited version, like a made-for-TV, it'd be a 20-minute movie.
It would be horrible.
I know.
Part of the fun of that movie is that it's so completely outrageous.
Yeah.
And not afraid to, you know, go places where, you know, the movies didn't go. In those days, and frequently, not now,
right?
Either.
I know. Dean, for a long time...
Is it bad that I find that flatulence scene, the campfire scene, so damn funny?
No, it's not.
Beans and tooting, very funny.
It's the 12-year-old boy that never leaves some of us.
Including me.
For a long time, when Hollywood would make a movie, they would shoot alternate scenes so that when the movie played on television, they could just show the B scene instead of the original scene.
Right.
Do they still do that, or is that a thing of the past?
They had in the last 10 years or so. They had a homogenized version of Sex and the City that originally on HBO that they cleaned up, and it was,
yeah,
all the bite was taken out of it. And I think they did it with The Sopranos too, where, you know, a lot of the language and scenarios and things were all taken out of The Sopranos. And sorry, it's not as gritty. I don't know why you just can't leave things alone. Why just leave it alone and, you know, put your warnings up that, you know, or ratings or whatever, and, you know, if somebody finds it offensive, you should
stop watching it.
I just read that there's a service now that will take your favorite late night talk show and it'll edit out all the political references.
I think Seth Meyers
doing that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a button that you can push on his online content that he puts on. I think that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Where you can specifically choose to take a non-political version, and that's perfectly fine. I don't know what would be left of a Seth Meyers show if there is not political.
Right.
Or any of the late night shows, right, that are predominantly politically oriented. I mean, people seem to like the political content. The ratings are higher than they've ever been.
It is the Seth Meyers, and the new Netflix special lets you skip the Trump jokes.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting to me.
I don't think that Trump fans would be watching him anyway.
That's
so
true, right?
You know.
Wow. So will that become a bigger thing if you like a certain type of humor, a certain type of show, or a certain kind of movie in the future, Dean? Will it be as such where you can put in a couple of key words or phrases and say... Like
filters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, filters to take certain things out. I guess that's the way it's headed. I mean, I think how we are going to be watching television in the next 5-10 years is completely different than the way we watch television today. It's evolving. It's changing. We see that with the Disney Plus streaming service that came out this week. There are three other pretty huge streaming services that are going to be starting in the next month or so. And more people are going to, you know, for entertainment, for movies, for, series watching, they're going to be watching them. They binge watch them, and they're going to be watching them online instead of on air. So, I think that there will be, filtered systems. I think that's better than these horrible washed-down versions.
Oh, no question.
Wait,
Dean, hold that thought. We've got to take a quick break. More with Dean Richards next, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We are talking with Dean Richards, and we've got a lot of movies coming out this weekend.
We do. We have four big ones, and actually, they're all pretty good, too. So this is a nice week for films. As I had mentioned, it's only going to get better between now and the end of the year with all the holiday movies that are coming out. Charlie's Angels is now will be the third movie version that will be coming up. There was the 2000 version with Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, and Lucy Liu. They did a sequel, Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, a few years after that. Now this third one, which is written, produced, directed by, and stars Elizabeth Banks, who kind of brings a whole different vibe to the story of the female spies. Kristen Stewart, we know from Twilight, Aladdin's Naomi Scott, she played Jasmine, and a newcomer named Ella Balinska. They are chasing after a high-tech device that gets into the wrong hands. But the specifics of all that, the plot line, doesn't matter as much in this movie as the all-girl power. I can't wait for young ladies to see this movie and to see that women can do anything, are as strong as, smart as anybody else. That's really, I think, kind of the moral of this movie that Elizabeth Banks provides with great special effects, great action sequences. It's very witty. It's very funny. I'd like this movie a lot, and a little bit poignant at the same time.
I'm surprised by everything you just said, Dean.
I know.
I really am.
I think that that Elizabeth Banks kind of redefines
good
this a little bit. I had fun.
Good.
Go to the movies, you want to have fun. I gave it a Dean's List B. Here's what I when you go to see this movie, though, don't leave the theater too soon. When the credits start, there are some really fun nostalgic treats that Elizabeth Banks has thrown in throughout the credits. So stay for all of that.
Thanks for that tip, because I get so mad if I leave early.
You're
like
a quick leaver. I always sense that about you.
Yeah. Great.
I stay for 20 minutes after the movie, Dean. Is that too long?
I don't leave till they're done vacuuming.
Right. I help vacuum.
Picking up the garbage and vacuuming. Dean's List B on Charlie's Angels. The other big movie of the weekend, in fact, I think this one's going to be the number one movie, is called Ford versus Ferrari. It's Matt Damon and Christian Bale telling a true story of this rivalry that took place between the Ford Motor Company that had constantly lost in the Le Mans motor race to the Italian-made Ferrari. And this is Ford's first big chance to actually win the race when he hires the legendary car designer Carroll Shelby and the famous driver Ken Miles, Matt Damon and Christian Bale. Great performances, thrilling cinematography, a very, very interesting story. If you're a car fan in any way, I think you're really going to like this movie. I enjoyed it. I gave it a Dean's List A. That's how much
nice.
I enjoyed
good.
It. Gave another movie a Dean's List A this weekend. It's called The Marriage Story. Super simple story that stars Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver. They are a couple that have been married for some time. They have, I want to say, like a 5 or 6 year old little boy. Their marriage hit some speed bumps, and they decide that they can no longer live with each other. They love each other, but they've come to the conclusion that they can no longer live with each other and amicably decide to get a divorce. Everything working out okay until the lawyers get involved. And then it turns incredibly ugly and incredibly bitter. I can't think of a movie whose storyline, strictly in the script, made me feel such joy of two people who are so organically in love and just love being with each other that turns in a case where these people can't stand each other. These two people hate each other and are out to get each other. It's a movie that will make you feel tremendously happy, and it's a movie that will make you feel tremendously sad. And who doesn't want to pay $12 for that? Really, when you go to the movies, who doesn't just want to be ripped apart? It's a very, very simple story, but a really interesting story. And again, great performances from Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver. I gave that one a Dean's List A also. And there's one other big movie that's out this week that's called The Good Liar with Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. They are a pair of seniors who meet online. Both are looking for some companionship. That turns into more. And then the story takes on a whole new layer when the motives of these two and some con games begin to unfold. It's a really great murder mystery drama. Not murder mystery, but a mystery drama Very old-fashioned kind of movie that is written so well. And you want to see two actors doing a masterclass. It's these two, Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. And what I liked about this movie, and it's an interesting story, but I love that it's a movie about seniors that doesn't involve illness or dying. It's two very vibrant senior citizens.
A lot of them out there.
The things that happen, absolutely. I gave this one a Dean's List B+. So, you know, we've got some darn good movies that are coming out this week.
Dean, we see what you just said. We see once or twice a year where Hollywood says, let's cater to the older crowd. We know they're out there and they want to see good movies, so let's make a movie for them. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. These guys, Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen, have been making the rounds together on the talk shows.
Right.
Their chemistry is amazing.
Yeah.
They're both such good actors. I don't see how this could miss.
This is the first time that they've performed together also.
Is that right?
Doesn't that, I mean, I guess, you know, we just think, well, they're both British. They certainly
they must work together.
They must.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure they live together.
Right.
Back in their Britain land where they live.
Yeah.
They did play together many years ago. It's the first time that they've performed together, but you want to talk about chemistry and just razor sharp performances and razor sharp timing. These two deliver it. It's great to see a movie without a lot of special effects. Just a really nice,
sure.
You know, very interesting, very compelling story with lots of twists and turns. It's like reading just a really great novel. So
yeah.
I really like that. I saw last night. I'll tell you much more about it next week. When it opens on the 22nd, but I got an early peek at A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks.
Exactly. And, oh, man, is it good. You want to talk about another fantastic performance. I was worried that I would feel like Tom Hanks was, you know, on a SNL doing a cartoonish impersonation.
Yeah.
But seamlessly, within about a minute or so, you don't even see Tom Hanks in this movie anymore. You only see Mr. Rogers. I can't tell you the number of times that I smiled. It's so nostalgic. It brings back so many memories of watching Mr. Rogers. There are it's such a sweet movie in these days where everybody is, you know, fighting. One person says the sky is blue and another says it's red.
Mm-hmm.
And just everyone's disagreeing with everybody and yelling at each other. Here comes a movie that's about somebody who is kind and understanding and compassionate and, you know, tries to see the best in everyone. Boy, do we ever need a movie like this. It's A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And it's not really a Mr. Rogers biography. You see the whole Mr. Rogers story play out in this, but the movie is about a magazine writer whose life is kind of in shambles, who is assigned to go to do a story on Mr. Rogers. And he kind of gets to know Mr. Rogers vis-a-vis the interviews that he's doing with him. But Mr. Rogers just kind of takes this guy under his wing and is so kind and gentle to him and so wonderful. It's just a revelatory, sweet, extremely nostalgic story. And Tom Hanks, he is definitely going to be nominated for an Oscar. There's no question about it. And to me, right now, it's between Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker or Tom Hanks.
Wow.
For best male performances.
Boy, talk How about diverse. One. Yeah, from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Wow.
And do yourself a favor, people. Google the Pittsburgh hospital that dressed all their newborns like Mr. Rogers to celebrate World Kindness Day yesterday.
Right.
Cutest darn thing in the world. We need more kindness.
But you know, don't just do it helter-skelter. If you're having, you know, your boss yells at you, something terrible has happened to you,
yes.
You want to go punch a hole in the wall, go, wait a minute, what did Wendy say to go look up? Go Google that. Look at this picture, and here's what you're going to do for the next 4 hours.
It's so cute. I can't stand it.
It's adorable.
Dean, last year.
And so are both of you, by
the way. You're adorable.
Oh, I love you, too.
I would only love it more if you both had red sweaters on. Neighbors.
Maybe.
My neighbors.
Maybe that'll happen.
Dean and Wendy are my midday neighbors.
Last year, the documentary about him, about Fred Rogers, was one of my favorite movies of the year.
Good.
But I kept thinking as I was seeing clips for this, oh, I wish they weren't so close together. But it's a very different take on his story, isn't it?
Yeah, the documentary is biographical. It tells the story of Mr. Rogers' life before and after the series. And this movie really is about the magazine writer and how Mr. Rogers changed his life. and really how Mr. Rogers kind of changed all of our lives. And, you know, I think a lot of us have forgotten the kindness that Mr. Rogers wanted everyone to enjoy. And this movie just kind of reminds us to act a little more like Mr. Rogers in your life.
And The Rock is good as Daniel Kitten. He's good.
Meow, 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 meow.
Every time something like that happened in the movie, I'm like,
aw. Dean, thank you so much. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you a week from today.
Meow, meow.
He will have a great weekend, because I'm King Friday.
That was the worst, but
that was great.
Thank you for laughing, Dean.
Thanks,
You're
Dean.
So kind. Bye.
The news is next from Northwestern Medicine's newsroom.